Well,
where's our boy Tom Houston? Tom?
These union wages just aren't getting it these days, are they?
Show number 160, August 15, 2006. Good to have you along for the next hour. We're going to be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with a blind in mind. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, Tom Houston. Hey. What's going on?
It's certainly nice to have you with us today, Donald.
Yeah, good to be here.
Miracle of modern day radio, folks, from Hudson, Texas, Don Patterson.
Boy, where's that sound engineer at? Something's going on.
I will have to admit that was my fault. Absolutely my fault.
I must have missed it anyway.
Well, I didn't have you on. I didn't have you potted up. I had Patterson potted up and forgotten which line I had you on. So, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, my name's Tom Houston, folks. But here's the guy. Here's the creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr.
Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome.
You know, you and Patterson are going to get a bad deportment grade if you don't start showing up over here. We do this on Tuesdays. You forgotten that?
Well, yes, I knew that.
You did. Well, what's your excuse today?
Well, my wife had an appointment, and my daughter's working,
yeah,
and it was my day to watch.
Oh, if your daughter's got a job, you're forgiven.
Oh, okay, she does.
Yeah, good. What a deal.
And Donald, what about you?
Oh, well, I'm sitting here with my roof deck, and I'm waiting on a roofer, and I can't seem to make contact with him, get him to show up. And this stuff is fragile. I mean, you know, you think rain bothers it. It's had one little rain, but the dew in the morning, every day I go out there, and the top layer is just a little more blistered. I mean, I've got to get something. So number one son-in-law and somebody, Grant, the helper I've been having, are coming, and we're going to tar paper at least today, and that'll solve that. But
okay, now you're saying your plywood is a little more blistered.
Well, I used OSB, and all it is glued together sawdust.
Yeah.
And it can take one rain, especially if it's on a slant, but it can't take two or three.
Yeah.
So I keep waiting for this roofer to call me, and he hasn't yet, so...
So
I've got to cover it up.
So you and your
Chad and Grant we're gonna tar paper it today. It shouldn't take long.
Are gonna come and help you today. Yeah. Sounds like he's in the men's room, doesn't it?
I'm in the big in the breakfast room, I guess, with the high ceiling.
The big echoey room.
Echo
Shall
chamber.
I move?
Yeah, go somewhere where there's better acoustics.
Okay.
No, it's okay. It's fine. We don't mind a bit, do we? Yeah. I was going to demonstrate. Let me just see. So I'll be quiet and see if this thing cuts the air conditioner off. Listen, here we go.
Okay.
Not quite. I don't have the gate set quite tight enough. Let's see. I'm going to pull the phones down. Let's see what it does.
Okay.
It did it.
Yes, it did.
It pulled the air conditioner off.
Did.
The phone noise holds it up a little bit.
Yep.
I've got this new thing that cuts the, when you stop talking, it takes the air conditioner noise away.
Wow. That's strange.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
anyway,
line noise.
It's just a compressor with a gate on it.
Oh, okay.
And the sound opens the gate, and if you don't talk with the phone, the noise of the telephones holds it open. You know, so it can't close itself. Anyway, that's audio talk. So, tar paper, well, Pat, we are going to get rain tomorrow.
We are?
Sometime, I think, before the weekend, they say, we're going to get some...
Well, I get my tar paper up there. I don't care. Then I'm home free.
Yeah.
And my roofer, I guess he'll call me sometime, but Saturday, oddly enough, I have a man coming to hang my two doors for me, since I don't care to do that. And he's also said he would look at my roof. He said if it's not real steep, he'll do it. So
two doors on the shelter?
Yeah, on my dog kennel.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
The pavilion's already roofed. The dog pen out here has all the corn, all the fascia board, all the trim. I mean, I'm ready for a roofer. I just can't find one. And God, I don't want to do it myself.
What did the twin say?
The twin said, "Mama, don't let Mr. Don start anything else. He's not ever going to finish this." So I called. It was actually one of the twins. It was Noah. And so he came over the next day, and so I walked out to the pool, and I said, "Noah, I want to talk to you about something." I said, I was thinking about building an apartment right behind the pool house for people to stay when they come in. He goes, Mr. Don, don't do it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Mr. Don, don't do it.
Oh, really?
Can't kids say the darnest thing?
Yeah, they do.
What was it, Art Linkletter used to have that?
Yes, sir.
Program 100 years ago, kids say the darnest things. All right, well, we're all here by proxy, and it's, what was that, your drink?
Oh.
Excuse me.
Beer can or something?
Beer can. I know, we know what it was. You're not fooling us. Anyway, we're all here, and Tom Houston's going to read a little what we call, by the way, Don said, you said that the blind... A handyman list is far exceeded 200 people now.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, 244, I do believe, on the blind light
me list. Listening to the show.
That is good.
Yeah. But speaking of that, let me go see if I can do this. Let's see if this will work. Let me go see how many listeners we have. Let's see. I don't think this is brought up through the phone thing, though.
Yeah.
Well, it may be. Let me see.
Link for your information. Visit at linkftpradio.filepar.
Let's see.
Visit at linkftpradio-8participants:.
8 listeners. All right, let's list them here. Let's see if I can do this. Can you all hear the computer?
I can.
Okay. File par.
Yeah,
man.
I could.
Let's see.
File par. Hoop man. Jennifer left parent mother Barb. Houston. Soft Southern. Lilac. David F. Blank.
All right. How about that? That worked. I didn't know.
David F. Moderator.
David F. the moderator.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Soft Southern is going to be our guest. And
right.
Tube Man, who is, of course, Max. Got to be.
Got to be.
Have to be, Max. All right, Houston, go ahead.
Okay, here's a guy named Robert Moore, and he says, I'm starting to gather old junk mowers and whatever small engine equipment I can get my hands on to make a little money on the side with a view towards building something substantial. Now, to start with, I'm taking anything regardless of condition. I figure whatever I find will at least have some parts I can inventory, even if it is a throttle cable or an air filter cover. You never know what you may need.
Yeah.
Once I take it off, what I can inventory, I'm left with a carcass that we'll need to dispose of. After saying all that, does anyone know for sure if all small engines are aluminum? I know that I can test them with a magnet, but I'm curious to know ahead of time. I figure if they all are, or at least the vast majority are aluminum, I will strip the box when I get a stockpile and can sell the aluminum for a load more than I did not separate everything.
Yeah.
Prepared metal, of course, of any type is worth more than the sum of all the metals when they're not separated. So I'm thinking I should not really lose by taking anything and everything, Robert.
So what he wants to do is are all small engine frames and blocks aluminum? I have no idea, Don.
Well, I would just take a stab at some of them, the bigger engines, I mean, even lawnmowers that say industrial, a lot of them have a cast iron sleeve inside. So that would also take away from the price of the aluminum because I don't see how he would separate that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
A cast iron sleeve in the block?
In the cylinder, yeah, where the cylinder wall, you know.
In each cylinder, it'd almost have to have, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, they call them industrial. I think just your regular little two-horse or three-horse mowers at home do not. But then when you get up, like I think the ones we have, Don, may have the 6.5 horsepower Briggs & Stratton engine. But, boy, this is a bad subject for me today.
Why is that?
Just so happened. I bought a lawnmower from, I won't mention the store, but they're Home Depot's competitors, about a year and a half or so ago. Or maybe it's been 2 years. You bought yours how long ago, Don, from Sears?
About 3 years ago
now. But I have had nothing but trouble. So yesterday I go to the store. I mean, we've had this thing in the shop. I've spent as much as I paid for it already on it. And so it wouldn't run the other day, so I go take the air cleaner off, and it's a cartridge, a paper thing. You have to go buy one. You can't wash them anymore.
That's right. You got to buy the new one.
So I go and buy it, put it all in there, and I pull the rope twice, and the rope broke.
Man.
So I'll guarantee you, if that guy wanted to start inventorying something.
Good place to start.
He could come by your house and pick up one.
He could come and get it.
You know, you can, George, I hate to mention this, actually wound the rope back in one time.
I mean, you could, except I'd have to tie a knot in it, and then it wouldn't come, because this one broke. I mean, it didn't just come loose, it snapped in half. you know, or...
Yeah, so it's over. You're going to go buy another one.
I'm going to, yeah. I've had it with this sucker.
I think the thing to do, used to, there was a time when you could buy a little cheap small mower for about $100. The thing to do would be just buy one every year.
Well, I have one, and they're about $125 now, but Sears, it's a little, the minimum little 4 horsepower engine.
Yeah.
Thing of it is, it's not self-propelled, and out around the pool, we have some hills, and Emily's the one that mows most of the time, and so she won't use it because it's not self-propelled.
So you have to have a self-propelled one.
I'm thinking about a zero-turn mower. That's what she'd really like.
I thought you had a riding mower at one time.
I have a big my tractor, but she doesn't claim things it cuts right or, you know, it's women.
Yeah. It's
a $9,000 lawnmower, but she doesn't like it. Power steering, she doesn't like it.
You say it's women? Is that what you said?
It doesn't mow it pretty. It doesn't mow pretty. Well, I thought you were, the idea was to cut the grass, you know.
Oh. Oh, well,
no golf course here, huh?
And it's wonderful. My wife never listens to the show, so she doesn't realize that I could buy an electric mower and actually mow myself. And nobody, don't you tell her when you see her.
Okay.
If you don't tell her, then I won't mention how much money Luann's made playing poker online.
No, let that cut out of the bag, huh?
Yeah. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. I've got a response on the aluminum question.
Okay.
Here's a guy named Larry. He said, Robert, actually, certain engine components are aluminum. Generally speaking, however, most of them are either cast iron or a composite, usually referred to as pot metal. The other thing you want to be aware of when separating out your scrap is that even aluminum is what the scrappers consider dirty. Now, this means that it has steel inserts for threading fasteners into, bronze or copper inserts for valve guides, seals for compression, and, well, you get the idea.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who owns a small engine repair shop has a trailer made of the back half of an old pickup, and he just throws all of the junk metal in it, and a guy comes around periodically and exchanges an empty trailer for his full one. The only thing that poor scrapper makes any money on is the aluminum beer cans that get tossed in there. I always maintain that if anyone held a gun on me and forced me back into the service profession, it would be as either a small engine guy or doing personal watercraft service and repair. Good luck with your endeavor, Larry.
We need this guy as a guest.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he sounded like he knew what he was
talking
like about.
He knows small engines a whole lot better than
yep.
You. Maybe he could tell you what you do when the rope breaks there.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You get a big sledgehammer.
Yeah, yeah. And just think of all the frustration you can work out.
That's right.
Beating on this thing.
Yeah.
All right, Thomas Houston.
Okay, hello, Liz. In 2001, a new Trane air conditioner was installed into my home. I believe it's a 5-ton. Mm-hmm. I have one unit to cover a 2,200-square-foot, two-story house.
Okay.
The unit's not a problem or the reason for my question today. Since this is on one breaker, as far as I'm aware of, in my box panel in the garage, I've noticed when the unit is running, a slight performance in my computer resources are diminished. I noticed this more by the speech output of JAWS since the lesson seems to lessen some. I do have the computer on a battery backup, which I think helps stabilize it. But is there anything that could be done to prevent the loss of my computer's performance while the air conditioner is running? I might note I've tried moving the computer to other rooms, and the same results occur. Thanks to any suggestions. As long as his name sends stuff here.
This is a tough one. We, in fact, David and I talked to this lady yesterday, Foxfire, I think, and we talked about this very situation, and some responses on the list have been low voltage. Maybe she's got a backup battery UPS system, I think, on the computer. That maybe that might be part of the problem, and we just kind of we're not sure about this issue, really exactly what the problem may be. Because she said you can definitely hear a difference in JAWS speech between when the AC is on and when it shuts off. So
yeah, he said he said that he does have a freezer in the garage and a refrigerator in the kitchen. He has a sprinkler system. It has its own box garage door opener. Just trying to think of stuff that runs on electric outside of the norm. I do not know of the amount of amperage for the area might not be enough, as we all tend to suffer from power outages several times throughout the year for whatever reasons, usually not weather related either. And I know that Dave Theron did respond, as Sean just said.
Okay, what did he say?
He said that this is strange since your AC unit is on its own 220 circuit and your PC is on a 110. Do you know what your electrical service is? Now, the standard for residential houses now is 100-amp service, which should be adequate. The other question I have is, what else is running in your home at the same time? Freezers, et cetera, Dave Theron.
Jesus, I sure am glad he said that, because I was going to say you're imagining that. You know, what could be the difference? It's not going to drop I wish we could get Max on the phone real quick. It's not going to, I don't see how I could drop the voltage. The computer wouldn't run if it dropped the voltage enough. Computer wouldn't stay on. The relay wouldn't stay closed. The motors wouldn't run.
If this person is saying his jaw is slowing down, or just the speech sounds a little different
speech
now.
Speech pitch, I think, changes. And
the only
the
thing I could relate
in.
To this, and it wouldn't have anything to do with the air conditioner unless it's the fan, but it would have to be a heck of a fan. Do you know, in my study, if I'm playing my accordion acoustically and I turn on the fan, it changes the sound.
Well, of course it does.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying, so I'm wondering if that's...
I understand that.
Yeah.
Because you're stirring up the air, you're playing in the same air the fan's whirring in.
Right.
I understand that completely. You can't play with a ceiling fan on because it makes the music go...
Yeah, it's wacko. Yeah.
I understand that, but yeah. I don't know
and
about
so
this.
I'm just saying, I wonder, could that be doing something with the sound?
Well, first thing I would do is get a voltometer of some kind, or get somebody with one to come out and plug it into your AC and turn it on and see what your line voltage is, and then kick the air conditioner on and see if it drops.
I'd run an extension cord from a neighbor and run that computer one time.
I don't understand. And you'd have to have a pretty minimal amount of RAM to slow jaws. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I never heard of a deal like that, but
because the air conditioner's on 220, and it's, of course, it's running off both sides of the 220, but to drop the voltage would be, I mean, if you drop the voltage enough, it wouldn't run, and you're not going
to
change.
Well, but if the voltage dropped enough to affect that computer, you'd also be affecting something else, like your refrigerator, wouldn't it? I mean,
you would think so.
I would think so.
That is strange. That really is.
So I don't know. Was that the only answer she got?
That's the only one put on here.
I don't think. Okay. Well, I don't know. Okay. Time. Well, you got another quickie?
Well, yeah. Okay. Here's a guy that Donald can answer, I'm sure. Don Shaw.
Yep.
Says, I'm a member of the STP, but can't find the STP radio link on their website. Can anyone tell me where to find it? I would like to listen to the Handyman Show.
Boy, that's an easy one, isn't it?
There you go.
Well, first of all, it's not there if nobody's on.
Yeah, that's the deal.
There you go.
It's absolutely not there if anyone's on. And the best way probably is to sign into the FTP site, For the People site, which is just www.4-the-people.com. Sign in and go to the locator frame and see actually if FTP radio is broadcasting anything at that time.
And if they're not, they just won't be there.
There you go.
And if they are, it'll be in the locator frame. Like you could do this. Let's do it one more time. Let's see.
Yeah, let's test it here.
David F. Lilac Soft U Object 25 visited link for your visited link FTP radio dash 8 participants colon.
Eight people. Right there it is. It's right at the top of the locator frame if there's somebody on.
If they're on in broadcasting, that's what you'll hear.
That's right. Well, Tommy?
Yes, sir.
I guess we'll say goodbye to you and also to Don Pat so we can call a guest. As I said.
All eight of them will try.
Who's going to be the guest today?
Our guest is Susie Homemaker today.
Oh, okay. Susie Homemaker.
And, of course, we want to leave the line open in case she gets a... Okay, well, Don wants to work us out a deal where we can go in a chat room while we're on FTP, and people could just come in that chat room and talk to us on the radio.
Wouldn't that be neat?
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
I think I've about figured out how to do it.
Well, the other night, let's see, we were in the chat room. They had to be 8 or 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
There
oh,
time.
God, yeah. There was.
We had 19 people in that chat room at one time.
My goodness.
There was. In the Blind Handyman chat. We should have done the show then.
We should have, yeah. Should have just recorded the show then.
Of course, it was at night, and, you know, 70% of blind people are out of work, but a lot of them are at work today.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them are at work.
They aren't home listening to our show. All right, Patterson, go put your roof on.
Yes, sir. We'll see y'all.
Thank you, sir.
Y'all take care.
We'll see you next time.
And, I tell you what, what did the old thermometer say? 101 degrees outside, up on that roof, putting down tar paper. Man, better them than me. Man, that's going
to
be.
Well, you lucked out, Pat, because I was going to get you to help me start that car you fixed the tire on the other day.
Well, I've got a jumper, a little starter box.
I bought a brand new one. It's been charging 72 hours. It's ready to go.
Okay.
All right. We might do that next day or two.
Later.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk with you later. Tom Houston and let me unlatch both these guys. And our friend Don Patterson. Well, Sean, it's you and me, huh?
Looks like it.
Against the world. Let's do a couple little things here, and we'll, Susie's listening. She knows when to call, doesn't she?
Yeah.
You can call now during the break. Back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. Have a live audience today.
We have folks from all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in Northeast Pennsylvania. That's
good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's phil@philparr.net. We'll see you this November in Houston.
We are.
Our guest was going to call us at 3:20. Is it what time?
It is 3:25.
It's 3:25. She was going to call us.
And we've got to have Miss Susie talk to us about all this homemaking type project here this afternoon,
we could do that.
Don't we?
Maybe she wanted to hear the telephone ring on the air. Let me check this. That's working. And how about this?
There.
That is true.
We're open for calls.
So we are open for calls right here on the radio. She was going to call at 3:20. Luann called and wanted something. I should have put her on.
Yeah.
Where would have made her? That would have gotten me in big trouble.
call writing.
She doesn't like to be on the radio and things like that. She doesn't care for that sort
there
of thing.
There we go.
There we go, right there. Just right on.
Yeah, let's see here right now.
No, that's the wrong one. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Well, I lost the other phone number, so I need your other one.
Well, no, you can just, we'll just use this one.
Okay.
We'll just, you lost the other phone number.
Yeah, I wrote it down last night, and it's on a piece of paper somewhere on this desk.
This somewhere.
Susie, who never loses anything. I tell you what, if you don't mind, I'll just give it. Well, if I give it, I wouldn't want to do that. We'll just use this number here. We'll just use this phone number right here and be happy with it. I noticed you were on the list there, listening.
Yes, I was listening.
We saw you, saw your name.
And Patterson needs to invest in a lawnmower with an electric starter on it.
Well, that's a good thought. He does.
That's what my daughter thought.
Yeah, that's what my riding mower's got that, and I'm sure his riding mower does too.
But does he need a riding mower or just a push mower?
No, he's got a riding mower. He's got a nice lawn tractor riding mower. His wife doesn't like it.
Well, my daughter, hers is just a push-type mower that has an electric starter on it.
And has an electric starter?
Mm-hmm, sure does.
That's pretty neat. I've never seen one. Have you done?
No, I haven't actually seen one. I think I've heard that before, but I haven't actually, seen one.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it's a self-propelled, but, I mean, it's one of those you walk behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they make all varieties of those these days.
You know, when Luann says something about lawn work, I just don't say anything anymore.
Yeah.
I just remain quiet. Do you want some coffee? Or something like that. Or, you know, I think I'm going to go out to the studio for a few minutes. If I don't comment, I don't say anything, then they won't ask me to do any lawn work. Because I'm out of the lawn doing, I don't give a, if it grows 8 feet tall, I ain't mowing it.
Yeah, lawn work.
I'd concrete it over if I could. You know, we don't have much lawn anyway. We got the pools in the backyard and the woods and... Well, I tell you what, speaking of woods, we're losing, and we got pine beetles. We're going to lose every pine tree we got, they say.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
Really?
Listen, before we talk, we're going to talk about kitchen cleaning and kitchen, how to keep it neat, how to organize your kitchen and things like that, right?
Well, sort of.
But before we do that, I want you to tell, I've been laughing about this ever since you told me this story. Let me start you out. Susie was flying somewhere, and the person that took her had to let her off at the front door of the airport. They couldn't take her in, and so she had to find her own way. She had to find the ticket line because she didn't have a ticket, and so take it from there.
Well, actually, I had a ticket, but I was dropped off at the airport, and sometimes there are people out front, you know,
Skycaps. Yeah, to help you.
Anyway, there weren't any out there that morning, and I always carry too much luggage, so I had all my stuff hauling it in, and here was this huge room, and there were some people over to my left,
yeah,
and this area in front of me. So I thought, well, nothing's happening here, so I'll just go get in this line.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm with people.
Yeah.
So I can eventually get to where I need to be. Well, someone across the, there were two lines of it. Somebody across the line spoke, and I said, I know that I'm in the wrong line, but I am trying to find where is the ticket desk. And the guy steps out of line, and he said, oh, you're in the rental car line. My mother tells that story, and she thinks that's the funniest story she ever heard, that I was in
the rental car
line.
To rent a car.
And so he just finds somebody, and they just passed me off hand by hand. I got wonderful treatment. But anyway.
But you were in, of all the lines you could have gotten in, you could have, you know, you got in the line to rent a car.
Yeah, well, those were the only lines that were close to the, door.
I love it.
I can talk my way to where I need to go, I suppose.
I understand that. I understand that. The funny thing is you were in the rent-a-car. I mean, of all the lines you could have gotten, you're in the rent-a-car line. There was Susie standing there trying to rent a car.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, of all the lines.
All right.
Pretty good.
Now, what were we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about the kitchen, and I actually went in this morning to get a little practice on this.
Uh-huh.
And, And one thing that we have to do quite often is, or when we first moved into a place, is put some shelf liner, shelf paper down. People really get into this, and of course we've had this shelf liner stuff that must have been made by the devil along with saran wrap because it sticks to itself when you peel off the back.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
You hate saran wrap as bad as I do.
Oh, I hate it. Yes.
Yeah.
But I found that wallpaper works wonderful in your shelves and drawers as liners. And you get the wallpaper that has the glue already on the back. Of course, if you're going to put it on a wall, you may want to put, I can't even think what sizing on the wall, too. But with this, one thing, it's easy to get it to the size of your
cabinet
area
shelf.
Because you can fold it. I'm a wonderful folder. I do this even on like wrapping paper and stuff. I'm not a straight cutter, so I have to fold, and I usually use a knife or something to slit it right down the edge. But anyway, uh-huh. You can take the piece of wallpaper and kind of put it in your cabinet and mold it the way you want it, and then take it out and cut it and get real, real close. And then all you need to do, of course, you need the, you don't need a lot of crumbs on your cabinet shelf or something. You wipe that out. And then you can just run this wallpaper, glue side up, underneath the faucet and just get it wet. And then just take that baby over and just put it down in your drawer, in your cabinet, and just smooth it out. And if you have a wrinkle, you can just pull that edge up, and it's not sticking to itself. You still have a little control over.
But now that's how you activate the glue on wallpapers, by getting it wet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I didn't know that. I've never put up any wallpaper. I've avoided it as if it were a pestilence. Never.
Well, the thing of it is, if you're putting it up on the wall, now there's some people that can put it up. If they don't intend for it to stay there a long time, they can put it up there with that water. But if you're going to put it up to stay, then you need to size your walls. But I'm not getting into wallpapering. We're just
shelf papering
these cabinets and drawers. And that way, if you get tired of what you're looking at and you don't like it, all you have to do is pull up the corner and just pull it up.
Yeah, peel it off.
Now, you're saying cut it kind of the length of the cabinet first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then put it in the cabinet and mold it around, move it around. We're talking glue side up. Move it around until it's the way you want it.
No, I have glue side down.
You have glue side down. Mold it around until it's the way you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wouldn't want to put it under a faucet. Wouldn't you want to just take your hand and put some water on it, or what?
Well, you're going to mold it that, and then you're going to bring it out and cut it.
Yeah.
Because you can fold that, and you're going to cut it, so you'll have it exactly the size you want it. If you want to be real, real careful, then put it in there first to make sure. And no, I just run it under the faucet. I run it under the faucet and just kind of shake it, and then just slap it into that drawer. You can use a wet rag if you want to.
Yeah.
But it works good that way.
And you cut with a knife instead of scissors?
Sometimes I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You just think of wallpaper you cut with scissors. I was wondering, is it easier for a blind person to cut it with a knife, you think?
Well, it is for me, because I get a... Unless you've just got a small fold that you folded up, but if you've got an inch or more of paper that you've got folded over, that's too much.
Yeah.
Then you can just fold that down, make you a nice sharp fold, and then slide your knife in there and just zip it right down.
And cut it along that crease that you've the fold that you made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, we just don't use any.
What?
We just don't use any shelf paper or drawer liner, or we just don't use it.
Probably because you started out with a new house and new cabinets, and
We start with an absolutely new house, and so we just never have done it.
We've done that before. We put that down. And that's what I was going to say. I bet the vinyl wallpaper and vinyl shelf paper is just all. They're probably just calling, actually,
it would
wallpaper.
Be, it,
it's probably the same
it's
difference.
Probably exactly the same thing,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, I don't know if they are or not, but now I just get wallpaper, and, you know, if you have a wallpaper job, you always have some left over.
I think it's a fine idea. It's a great idea.
And sometimes you go into stores and they have wallpaper just cheap, or you can go to a yard sale or whatever.
That's right.
Yep. Whatever. And if they only have one roll in a store, then it's going to really be cheap, but it's probably going to be plenty.
More than plenty.
And then if you have a little wallpaper in that particular room, shoot, the inside of your cabinets and your drawers, they all match.
Everything matches.
Yeah.
What do you just as a quick question, do you put glasses in the cabinet upside down or right side up?
I put mine in upside down.
Okay. my wife would put them in right side up. I put them in upside down. Why? I have no idea. Shaw?
Right side up.
Put them in right side up.
Yeah.
As anal retentive as you and I both are, I would figure you'd put them in. I put them upside down. My mother did, and so that's the way you do it, isn't
it? But I always turn all of them the same direction. You know, I wouldn't put some in upside down and some right. You know, they'd all have to face the same direction.
They'd all have to be the same. Yeah, they'd all have to either be upside down.
Yeah.
You couldn't have,
couldn't have
both.
Switched around.
And my housekeeper.
Well, I think the original idea of doing them upside down was that way ants or flies or nothing could get into them.
Yeah,
but
that's
now
true.
if you're in the restaurant business with your plates and cups and stuff, you always turn them upside down.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do. If you have them right side up and the health department comes in and checks you, they mark you down for that.
Is that right? You get demerits for putting your glasses right side up?
Mm-hmm.
Arnold, you
because something could fall into that cup.
We need to point that out to my wife.
She's got hers in the cabinet, so it doesn't matter.
She doesn't do it. I do it. So they're upside down.
Okay.
If you come to my house, the glasses are... Well, you've been to my house. The glasses are upside down.
Into your house, right.
Glasses are upside down. All right.
But if you have glasses on the bottom shelf turned upside down, right? And
yes.
Supposedly to keep things from dropping into them.
Yes.
Is the point of that.
Yes.
But then if you would have, let's say, for example, your cereal bowls on the second shelf right side up, what would be the difference? Then things drop into...
The principle of the thing.
Now what?
I have no idea.
My cereal bowls are right side up.
Yeah.
And mine are too. Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
It makes absolutely no sense. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought I'd ask that.
It's a good question.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm wondering if mine are right side up or upside down. I used to always put them in.
Your cereal bowls?
Upside down. No. My glasses.
Oh. My glasses are facing down.
Facing down.
Mine are down. My cups and my glasses are down.
And you know, my mother had, and you buy this, you can buy these rings and things. Her coffee cups, she hung on the bottom of the top shelf. She hung them on hooks. And I've never done that. I guess that's why they call them cup hooks, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah, it makes good sense.
I've had them that way, and then some of the handles were bigger than they needed to be for the cups, and they'd fall, and then they'd break the stuff that was under them.
So you don't...
fall, and so I don't do that anymore. I usually do my coffee mugs. I stack them, so I have one face down and then set one on top of it.
Oh, really?
And that way you can get a double.
Do you have all the same size coffee mugs?
No. Mm-mm.
I don't have any the same size.
I don't either, because I like cute coffee mugs with funny sayings. Of course, I can't read them, but anyway, I like those anyway. So,
yeah.
No, my coffee mugs, well, I have some that match my dishes, but I only use those when I've run out of all the others.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. I have many different sizes of coffee mugs, because they end up, John brings them by, and he'll leave them and take one of mine, and so there'd be no way for us to keep matched ones. I just have a mishmash of... All different.
Right.
Anyway, what? I got off on that. What's next?
Well, in the midst of looking through the cabinets this morning, and I found a lot of things that kind of needed coordinating. So when you are, I guess the next thing is, okay, like filling up your canisters with flour and meal and all that kind of stuff. And
okay.
I don't buy in large books. Living by myself, I just don't do that much flour and meal and stuff. So I buy them in small bags, and I know they're more that way, but then I'm not throwing it away.
That's right. Makes sense to me.
You're not throwing it away. That's right.
Right. So I have some small, actually, they're not canisters. They're round, and they have flat tops. Anyway, you can stack these things. And I have a braille label on the side that says plain flour and self-rising flour and
okay.
self-rising meal. And I did that after years of thinking, oh, I'll remember what this is, and then I don't, and I end up just tossing it away and starting all over because you don't want to have a flat cake or fluffy cookies. But when I'm doing that, which is what I did this morning, I set the canister, well, I set it down in a colander in the sink and poured the flour into that. And the reason I don't do it on top is because if you make any spills, you've got a mess. And nothing is worse than having flour all over your counter. It seems like it grows. It just doesn't, come off. So I got all of those canisters filled up and stacked up and put in the cabinet. And thanks to y'all, my cabinets are pretty neat
today. Yeah.
So you put them in the cabinet?
Yeah, I put them in an upper cabinet. Actually, I put them over the stove, which is probably the wrong place to put them, but that's where I put them anyway. I have all my oil and flour and meal and sugar in canisters up over there, and then over the sink is where I keep, powdered sugar and... Well, I just don't have room to put it at both places. So I have them in those short cabinets that are over the stove and over the refrigerator of things that I don't use every day.
Right.
But I still reach.
I've always poured. I just tended to do that, like sugar, like in the canister, and like we use this dried coffee creamer, like Coffee Mate, like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always tended to pour things either out of jars or into canisters over the sink. I don't know, just because it flour and sugar and all that. Man, it's just. I guess I'm kind of lazy. It's just more work if you have to end up cleaning a cabinet top.
I started doing that when I worked at the rehab center, and I had students doing it. And, of course, if they made a mess, it was time for them to go to their next class, and I had to clean it up.
Yeah.
So it was, and, of course, we were just back-to-back classes in that kitchen. You had to finish up so the next instructor could come in. And
oh, really?
With another student. So that just, you learn to find some shortcuts, and these may be things that people have always done. And I just didn't know it, but it works for me.
Yeah, it does. It works real well.
Yeah, if you're filling up canisters, the best thing to do is set them in the colander in the sink, and the same way that you'd pour, like if you had cooked, say you were going to make tacos or something, and you'd cooked hamburger meat in a big skillet, and you wanted to pour that grease off of it, you set the colander in the sink and pour the, I try not to pour the grease down the drain.
Right.
So sometimes I don't use a colander. Sometimes I'll pour the grease into something. Of course, you put something under the, set the colander in a pot, and then pour the hamburger meat into the colander and take the colander out and pour the grease into something.
Well, I tell you what works really well for setting under that colander, and I always keep them, and that's those little pie pans.
Yeah.
That you're the disposable pie pans, like pie crusts and whatever come in.
Aluminum.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Soft aluminum.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good idea.
You can either, if it's a huge mess and you just want to throw it away, you can just throw it away, or
wad it up and throw it away.
What I usually do is I just lay some paper towels in it and soak that up and throw the paper towels in the trash, and then just wash that pan again and, you know, stick it back in the stove drawer.
Yeah, but if we cook something like we cook bacon in a skillet, and there's grease in that skillet, a lot of times I'll just put some paper towels in that skillet, sop up that grease, and throw away the paper towels because I don't have any use for the grease. I don't want to pour it down the drain. But I keep a grease can under the sink to pour grease in. Not grease, I want to say, but grease. And when it gets full, I throw it away.
That's what we do.
That's the only thing I miss about those great aluminum coffee cans we used to get.
Yep.
We can't pour that grease in a plastic can.
Can't pour the hot grease in the coffee can.
Yeah.
Plastic can, anyway.
Because I cook bacon on a flat bacon cooker in the microwave. And, of course, you end up with a lot of grease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you buy your coffee in those large coffee cans, sometimes you can find those that are still the metal.
Mm-hmm. You can still find them, yeah.
And they're nice for that. I don't think my daddy ever threw away a coffee can. I remember when we bought coffee in the, you know, the bags that had the little metal thing you roll down.
They still make those.
Yeah, I know, but when those coffee cans came out, he thought you ought to fill them up with nails and screws and all that sort of thing.
I don't know about your daddy, but if you want any coffee cans, you could come by and I could give you all you wanted. I've never thrown one away either.
You got all those old metal cans.
I throw them away when they finally rust. Then I may chunk one, but a tear comes to my eye when I have to.
Yeah.
Well, when he died, there were just gobs of cans with all kinds and I'm pretty bad about doing it myself. So
that's what I said. You won't make fun of me for saving coffee cans when you need a half inch drywall screw on Sunday morning, because I'll have one in one of my coffee cans.
Have you ever found one to go in that piano?
You know, I've never fixed that piano. I've got to do that one of these days.
What else can we talk about on this kitchen do?
Well, I was going to talk about we could talk about, because we've done this before, and that is care and feeding of iron implements.
Yeah.
Care and
feeding of iron, like of iron skillets and iron cookpots, cast iron stuff.
Oh, okay.
Cast iron stuff. What do you do? I know what we do, but
how do I care for it?
How do you care for your cast iron skillet?
Okay, well, when I'm cooking those, then I'll run a little, you know, if it's pretty messy, I'll run a little water in it, but I don't put any soap in it.
That's right.
Yep.
And then I've got I found some dish rags, and you can call them cloths if you want to, but couple of years ago at Target, and they're called kitchen scrubbing rags. They're like a double layer, and one side is a bit rough, and the other side is just right. And they are the greatest things for cleaning counters or whatever, but they work real good for your skillet, and I just can rub that in there and get that out, and then I just dry it. I usually dry it out with a paper towel, and then if my oven is hot, I set it in the oven. If the oven is still warm, but otherwise, I'll turn on the burner, just get it going, set the skillet down on top of that, and then turn the burner off and let it dry that way.
Right. That's what I've heard to do.
That's the way you're supposed to do it, right? My wife is here. I don't get to clean the iron, the cast iron stuff. That's something I'm not allowed to do.
Now, how does she clean it?
She does the same thing. She'll rinse it out and get all the, make sure all the food's out of it, and then sometimes she put a little oil on it, stick it in the oven, turn the oven on for just a minute, and turn it off, and the next morning I'll get it out and put it where it's supposed to be. We had a housekeeper. They had a housekeeper at one time when she was a kid that put one in the dishwasher. And my God, I thought, you know, that we were going to have a fight over it. You don't do that. But I'm glad I've learned.
Yeah, if I have one that is sticking, I'll rub a little oil in it and get it hot.
Yeah.
And then let that, I guess, dry in there. But I've got a skillet I really like. It's corn for cornbread, and it's in little wedges.
Yeah.
And then in the center, there's a hole, I guess, for the heat to escape or whatever. So the heat will be distributed evenly.
Makes 8 pieces of cornbread, or 6 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one somewhere, but I have no idea where it is. Lynn doesn't like it. She does cornbread, and then halfway through or three-quarters through the cornbread, she will take the cornbread out, pick the skillet up, flip the whole skillet over, and the cornbread will just land on her hand, and then she'll flip the cornbread and put the skillet back in. Do you do that?
No.
You do not turn your cornbread?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Wonder why she does.
I don't know. Probably because she can.
I have... Probably because she can.
That makes sense.
Well, no, you could do the blind person could do that. It'd be a little dicey, but you could.
Well, I've never seen anybody do that. That's my whole point.
Oh, I don't want you to.
That's why I meant because she can. It has nothing to do with being blind or anything else. No, I never saw my mother do that.
Well, she does it because her grandmother or her mama did it. One of the two.
But we had wonderful crispy cornbread. It was moist inside, but it was nice and crisp.
Yeah.
All the way around.
This is like cooking in the dark. I'm starving to death now.
Yeah, no kidding. I love good cornbread.
She never put an egg in her cornbread till Grandma came to live with them, and Grandma ruined the cornbread. But anyway.
She quit putting an egg in it?
She started putting an egg in it when Grandma came, because Grandma liked hers thicker. But now, no, I don't put an egg in my cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cornbread is good eating. Now.
You know, we could have you on Cooking in the Dark sometime.
I cook in the dark all the time.
Yeah. Susie, thank you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you in November. Have you made your reservations yet?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
Well, David Farron said it was very easy. Said the folks... knew exactly what we're talking about and ready to have us.
I've got to call in myself and make a reservation.
Has to be done. So. All right.
All right.
We'll see you. We'll talk to you a number of times before then, but we'll see you in November. And thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Let's unlatch her and take a little short break. And I don't know. We'll come up with something when we get back. Hang on just a minute. More of this show we call The Blind Handyman. Hang on. Live audience today.
We have folks from, I guess, from all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's phil@philparr.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. tearing it down. We're out of time, aren't we? We need to.
Or just about.
I guess we need to. We need to go. The phone rang. We didn't give a number today, so we didn't get any calls, but that's all right. We'll work on that later. It is.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about drilling holes, but we don't have time now. Is it time to do the theme?
It really is. We're just going to wrap it up here.
I'm going to wrap it up and thank everybody for listening. And let's see, how do you do this? I'm tired of running the board. We need Houston back, so I don't have
to. We need Tom Houston back next week, don't we?
Maybe everybody will be here next week. We would certainly hope so. Thank you, Susie. We appreciate your help.
Yeah, good and topic today.
We didn't get a chance to demonstrate. Let's do it. Ready? Here we go.
Ah.
Oh, there's the telephone. I guess I ought to answer the phone, shouldn't I?
Yeah. I would say so. Hope for the best.
Anyway, I have no idea who that is. We'll do this again next week. Thank you, Don Sean.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see you next week. We thank everybody on FTP for listening. This will be repeated Saturday morning starting at, we start at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And we'll do it then also on ACB Radio all weekend long, alternating between Blind Like Me and Blind Handyman Show all weekend long on ACB, well, not all weekend, but from Friday night to Saturday night on ACB Radio, on radio reading services all around Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Chicago.
That's right.
Los Angeles, wherever you are, you should be able to hear. If you'd like to be a guest, email me, phil@philpar.net, phil@philpar.net. If you want to come to Houston, we'd certainly love to have you this fall. Starting November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, we're going to gather in Houston and party and dance and drink and hope for the best.
It'll be great, man.
It'll be great fun. Come on down. Thanks, y'all. See you next week. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.